Plan giving is not as complicated as it seems. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with leaders and fundraisers who immediately balk at the mention of plan giving. But when you have a plan giving program where each function is performing as intended, the results can be transformative for your organization. Now, you may be wondering what I mean by each function. I mean, it's just asking for a gift and working with lawyers and financial advisors, right? In today's episode, we're talking about the three distinct functions of a plan giving program, why you need each of these areas to create a thriving program, and how to meaningfully move a donor through each area.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm Jeff Schreifels, and I'm glad you're with us today. Over the last few years, we've been focusing on how to build a relational plan giving program that will help you identify, solicit, retain, and properly steward your plan giving donors. The reality is that organizations like yours are losing huge amounts of revenue by not prioritizing plan giving efforts or by creating an imbalance in plan giving functions. So to talk about these functions, what we call the three legs of plan giving, I've invited Robert Chaffis, our Director of Plan Giving Services, and Kara Ansotegi, our Director of Client Services, to join me for this episode. Welcome, Bob and Kara.
Thanks, Jeff. Welcome.
Thanks. Good
Glad
to see you.
Glad you're here. Now, before we dive into today's topic, I'd love for both of you to just introduce yourselves to our audience.
Hi, I'm Bob Chaffis, Director of Plan Giving Services at the Veritas Group. I've been working in major and plan gifts for, God help me, 40 years, and manage several large regional and national plan giving programs.
Awesome. Kara?
Yeah, I'm Kara Ansotegi, Director of Client Services, and I've been in the fundraising industry for a little over 20 years and came to know and love Veritas as a client of theirs many years ago. So it's great to be here today.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. This is going to be a great conversation. I know when we prepared for this, how much fun we had talking about this. So I'm looking forward to this. Okay. Bob, let's start by talking about what the three legs of plan giving are and what each function is.
Yeah, you know, it's really come to me kind of suddenly in the past few years that there are really three legs for a good plan giving program. Good, effective plan giving, lead generation, marketing. Good, effective asking to make a commitment and walking hand in hand with the donor as they make that commitment final. And then the stewardship piece. So lead generation and marketing, one of the things about plan giving is that all of your plan giving donors are already in your database. So you need to identify new prospects or existing plan gift donors with initial qualification of the leads, the names, the cultivation of lead names, and providing valuable and relevant information to inspire them to raise their hands to self-identify. Mm-hmm. And finding out who has already made a commitment to the organization and those who want to make a commitment to the organization. You know, the plan giving officer's role is really just really qualifying those lead names and getting to know them, cultivating them, asking them to make a commitment, and then closing that gift. And then the piece that's really, really important that I probably would not have said this 15 years ago is the whole stewardship side. Mm. We know enough about people who make plan giving commitments to know how important it is to not only celebrate with them what they've done, but to make sure that they feel connected to the organization and that they feel appreciated for what they've done.
Yeah. Okay. So how do these three functions collaborate and partner in the ideal world?
Well, ideally, each function is going to be managed by an individual person. So rather than having, as you often see in plan giving programs, one plan giving officer who's handling the marketing, they're handling the stewardship, they're handling the list maintenance, they're handling the asking.
Right.
Each of those functions, marketing, plan giving officer solicitation, and stewardship, should ideally be done through individual staff members. And you should see the people move through the pipeline and begin to collaborate effectively with your major gift staff and your mid-level staff. Because once again, a lot of your best plan giving prospects will be resident in the names that they're working with.
Yeah. So now we know from our work with organizations that most, especially small to mid-size organizations, typically don't have three people working in each of these functions and end up combining them. This is also common in new plan giving programs or ones that are underfunded. So Kara, how do we see this in practice?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you and Bob have alluded to the main point, which is they combine all three, right?
Yeah.
And it's not ideal, but it's really how a lot of organizations are currently structured, why they're building and investing in that plan giving program. It has its challenges. It's hard for one person to manage all of that. But I think that there are some ways that we can combat that, and we've seen that combated, namely through collaborating with the major gift officer, or as Bob even mentioned, the mid-level officer on that ask function of the role, mm-hmm. right? Organizations should even allow a mid-level officer, or consider allowing mid-level officer, to steward some of those plan gift donors. When we look at how we steward our plan giving donors, it's very closely structured to how we manage mid-level donors. So that's another way that they can really look at that. And I would say another scenario that occurs in the organization may be outsourcing that lead gen side of things, the lead generation. So if it's done properly, what it really does is allow the plan giving officer, or that one person, more time to focus on what we would consider warmly qualified donors that are coming from that program. Mm-hmm.
So Bob, what do most organizations confuse or misunderstand about these function areas?
Well, I alluded to a few moments ago, the kind of confusion of roles that tend to all be rolled up into one plan giving officer's duties. The organization really needs to understand what those individual functions are and to allocate how much time any individual staff person needs to spend on those functions. Another thing that they don't really fully understand is most of the people who have done something in their plans, whether that's a will bequest or a beneficiary designation or even a charitable remainder trust, most of those people won't tell the organization that they've done something. They don't want to be targeted. They don't want to be identified as a wealthy person in the future.
Right.
We also know that most testamentary gifts don't actually come into a person's estate plan until 2 to 5 years before they pass away. Mm-hmm. So in a way, you kind of have this two-pronged approach that you need to think of in terms of plan giving. Identify the people who will tell you now, and make sure you keep marketing to the people who are long-term donors to the organization. Kara mentioned mid-level. A lot of your best plan giving prospects maybe aren't giving huge amounts of money, but if they've been giving for 20, 30, 40 years, those are really good prospects. Yep. And finally, there's a whole stewardship piece, which is that 40 to 50% of people with executed estate plans fail to go through with those when they pass away. So keeping people close to the organization, constantly making sure that they know how much you appreciate them, will help make sure that they go through with what they do in their plans as they go forward.
I'm going to ask both of you this question. So, Kara, you can go first, but what can go wrong if in an organization is not properly supporting all three of those legs in plan giving that we're talking about here?
Well, I know Bob's probably going to have a lot more to say about this than I am, but I can tell you, you know, based on what I shared earlier, it doesn't really allow the plan giving officer the time and attention they truly need to focus on soliciting those plan gifts. You know, I look at it kind of like we look at major gifts and events. Major gift officers shouldn't be planning events if you want them out there soliciting. And similarly, to have a truly functioning plan giving department, you need to invest in all three legs.
Yeah. Bob?
Yeah, it's really important to understand that you need to make sure that you focus on the plan giving three-leg approach.
Yeah,
because as I've done the assessments that we've been doing for clients, one of the things that I've noticed is that virtually every data set has a huge number of unknown, undiscovered bequests. And so one of the things that you really want to focus on is to get those people to self-identify. That's through marketing. It's through personal contact, because those are the people who A, are going to tell you that they've done something, and B, are now people you are able to steward effectively.
Right.
Another piece of it is, if you take a look at that, those data sets, there are huge numbers of people who look like they're good plan giving prospects, and failing to market to them, failing to ask them to make a commitment, is always going to provide your organization a missed opportunity. And you don't want to be that person who misses that opportunity, because these opportunities are huge. The average size of a plan gift is $40,000 to $70,000. That's a very large amount of money.
Yeah.
And poor stewardship will make your identified donors more likely to think, well, I guess this organization I think of so highly that I actually put them in my estate plans has kind of forgotten that I exist.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in those positions. We want to make sure that we're building relationships with people you don't already know. A lot of organizations spend a lot of time just focusing on their existing plan gift donors, people that they know already. Yeah. That's great, and that is part of that stewardship process. But really, you need to get out, build relationships with people that you don't know well, and get them to make commitments. Leadership needs to look really hard at any individual fundraising program to make sure that they're capitalizing on those plan giving leads. And since we know, and this is on the stewardship side again, only 55% of people keep a charity in their will for more than 10 years.
Oh, interesting.
So you need to keep that stewardship side, that banking side going. So great stewardship is important, but so is lead generation. And you need to build those new relationships and ask for new commitments, because that's where you're going to see the biggest bang for your buck.
Yep. So both of you again, why is collaboration with major gifts critical to the success of all three legs of the plan giving? Where have we seen this? It's kind of like a yes and, right?
I'll start if that's okay.
Yep.
You know, why it's important, I think we need to get our major gifts teams comfortable talking about plan giving, right?
Yeah.
There's different types of plan gifts, and talking about legacy gifts can be challenging for major gift officers at first. It doesn't come natural. They don't know a CGA versus a CGT and what all of that means, all of the implications of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So getting them trained to understand the value of plan giving and how to talk about that work is really important. I also think there's a really great opportunity between the plan giving officer, the plan giving team, and the major gift officer to collaborate on those leads.
Yeah.
So when a donor raises their hand identifying interest in making a plan gift, it's really critical that if they're on a major gift portfolio, your major gift officers are working with the plan gift officer to have that conversation sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And then I think it's important that we understand the highest potential for a donor and how we can serve them. Right? By speaking to a variety of giving options, we talk about passions and interests.
Right.
And if we know it's important to leave a legacy gift to a donor, we need to be able to fulfill that, right, through having those conversations with them. And then Bob just alluded to this. The last is really stewarding those donors who have confirmed your organization is in their estate plans. If they're on a major gift portfolio, they should be stewarded both for their plan gift and then continuing to have those conversations for their outright annual gifts.
Yeah.
I have one quick story. I have one specific client who doesn't have a plan giving officer. They have someone who's doing some lead generation for them.
Okay.
And they have identified through Bob's work some great plan giving officers. And so what we're doing is actually working with each of the major gift officers in our coaching. And we're determining which of those donors are ready to have plan giving conversations with, and which of those donors we can actually make a dual ask at year end.
Yeah.
So which of those donors want to have have those conversations, and which donors can make an ask between both an estate gift and an outright gift and an annual on that annual basis at year end this year.
I love that. So Bob, what is the value of having a fully functioning plan giving program, and how does it support all the other areas?
Well, first of all, you know, contrary to what a lot of people believe, there is an immediate return. There is at least one study that shows that new plan gift donors increase their giving kind of wildly, something like 75% in terms of their annual giving in the time period after they make a plan gift. Also, you know, asking for non-cash gifts increases giving, because what you're doing is you're asking people not to think about what's in their wallet, but what they own. And when they start thinking about what they own, they begin to think in terms of more like a philanthropist. What can I do to support the charity with what I have? Like I said, it drives the increase in major gifts and shifts that mindset from the cash you have to what it is that you own. Yeah. And like I said before, this is not the kind of fundraising where you can rent a list from some magazine or something like that to find new donors. Your existing donors are already in your database. Your plan giving prospects, your existing plan gift donors are in that database, whether you know it or not. And I'm going to add one more thing real quick, which is that in a little over 2 years, the estate tax is supposed to go back down to $5 million. It's currently at like the amount that you can pass tax-free is supposed to go down to about $5 million. Mm-hmm. It's currently at about 12, and a married couple can do between $25 and $26 million before they have to worry about estate taxes. This is a good time to start a plan giving program or to ramp up your plan giving effort, because in a couple of years, you're going to be talking to everybody about how plan gifts are going to help them with their estate situation.
Okay, so for someone at an organization that's just getting started in plan giving, or that has an existing program, but it's not properly supported or balanced, what advice would you give them? Kara, why don't you start?
Well, I'm a planner, so my advice is more about setting yourself up for success, right? Really understanding those legs, understanding what you can do within each of those areas and how you can maximize resources and staffing that you have in those areas to really get that program up and running. And like I said, is it that you're using your mid-level for your stewardship? Is it that you're using major gifts and collaborating with major gifts on your asks? Figure all of those three legs out so you're setting yourself up for success in that program.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting our free assessment to find out what your real capacity is one of the best ways to start.
And it's awesome.
Then making sure that you have everything in place. Do you have a gift acceptance policy? Do you have a marketing plan, a stewardship plan? Do you know what type of plan gifts you even want to work with? That may vary from state to state and with the bandwidth that any individual organization might have. And you maybe probably want to think in terms of appropriate staffing and probably a legacy society. And you should have response plans ready, probably when you send out the marketing piece, so that it's all ready. So when you start getting those responses, you'll be able to respond appropriately and quickly. I would always say that one of the most important things is to incorporate plan giving in most of what you do. So that, like Kara was talking about, how major gift officers sometimes are maybe a little reticent to talk about plan giving, but make sure that they have some level of comfort so that legacy becomes part of every philanthropic discussion.
All right.
I would say, as part of that, Bob, making sure that it's part of your annual fund, right? Make sure it's on your reply devices for annual funds so you get more of those hand raisers. Really thinking how you can do that.
I see that all the time, and I also see it on email signature lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Love that.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us today on this episode, and we hope that this is giving you clarity on various roles that play into a strong plan giving strategy. If you'd like to learn more about how to approach plan giving, you can download our free white paper on how to start a plan giving program, and be on the lookout for a brand new masterclass in plan giving that will walk you through creating a thriving plan giving program that we'll be launching this fall. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.